That which follows will be a reading of Studies in the Scriptures from the 1916-1917 edition, the last edition that Brother Russell presented for printing. The readings are from the original Watchtower Bible and Tract Society publications of that era. Variations exist between this edition and the New Brunswick and Dawn editions of modern times. The Divine Plan of the Ages, A Helping Hand for Bible Students. Title Page. Studies in the Scriptures. The path of the just is as the shining light, which shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Series 1, The Plan of the Ages. 4,948,000 edition. A vindication of the divine character and government, showing by a recognition and harmonizing of all the Scriptures that the permission of evil, past and present, is educational and preparatory to the ushering of mankind into the golden age of prophecy, in which all the families of the earth will be blessed with a full knowledge of God and a full opportunity for attaining everlasting life through the Redeemer, who then will be the great restorer and life-giver. Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. International Bible Students Association, Brooklyn, London, Melbourne, Barman, Elberfeld, Orebro, Christiania, 1917. Dedicatory Page. To the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in the interest of His consecrated saints, waiting for the adoption and of all that in every place call upon the Lord, the household of faith, and of the groaning creation, travailing and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, this work is dedicated. To make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things under Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4, 5, and 9, and chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Copyright 1886, Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, Brooklyn, New York, USA. Written in 1886 by Pastor Russell.
N.B. This volume can also be supplied in the German, Swedish, Dano-Norwegian, Finnish, French, Greek, Italian, Hungarian, Hollandish, Spanish, Polish, Slovak, Arabic, Chinese, and Japanese languages, also Braille for the blind.
The Divine Plan of the Ages, The Author's Foreword. The author and the publishers desire to publicly acknowledge the favor of God which has permitted them to be identified with the circulation of this volume, and with the results, light, joy, peace, fellowship with God, to many hungry, thirsty, bewildered souls. The first edition, in its present form, was issued in 1886. Since then, one edition has followed another in rapid succession, and in 20 different languages, until now there are nearly 5 million copies of it in the hands of the people all the world over. We cannot hope that these books have all been read, but letters continually coming to hand assure us that they are working powerfully in the hearts and minds of people everywhere. Thousands write us that they have been influenced, some who totally disbelieved in the Bible as a divine revelation to mankind. Others write that they have been atheists, or approximately so, because they had not previously known the true God and His true plan of the ages, and were unable to accept, appreciate, or worship the characters usually held before them in the creeds. For above 5 years preceding the first publication of this volume, we had substantially the same matter in print under another name, and differently presented. That book was entitled Food for Thinking Christians. Its style was different in that it first of all attacked the error, demolished it, and then in its place erected the fabric of truth. We finally learned that this was not the best way, that some became alarmed as they saw their errors falling, and failed to read far enough to get a glimpse of the beautiful structure of truth in place of the demolished errors. The present volume was written from the reverse standpoint. It presents the truth, shows its strength and beauty, and then suggests the removal of the error as not only unnecessary, but absolutely useless and very injurious. Thus the reader of the Divine Plan of the Ages at each step finds a strengthening of faith and a greater nearness to the Lord, and therefore a confidence that he is in the right way. After seeing the truth, the errors are more and more seen to be absurd, worthless, injurious, and are gladly abandoned. The great adversary, of course, has no love for anything which opens the eyes of God's people, increases their reverence for God's book, and breaks their reliance upon human creeds. The great adversary, therefore, as we might have expected, is very much opposed to this book. Few realize Satan's power and cunning. Few realize the meaning of the apostle's words in respect to this prince of darkness, who transforms himself into a minister of light, in order to fight the truth and destroy its influence. Few realize that our wily adversary seeks to use the best, the most energetic, the most influential of God's people to hinder the shining of the light and to keep the divine plan of the ages away from the people. Few realize that from the time creed-making began, A.D. 325, there was practically no Bible study for 1,260 years. Few realize that during that time, the creeds were riveted upon the minds of millions, shackling them to horrible errors and blinding them to the divine character of wisdom, justice, love, power. Few realize that since the Reformation, since the Bible began to come back into the hands of the people, well-meaning but deluded reformers have been blinded and handicapped by the errors of the past, and in turn have served to keep the people in darkness. Few realize that real Bible study, such as was practiced in the early church in the days of the apostles, has only now come back to Bible students. In the earliest editions of this volume, the title Millennial Dawn was used, but we found that some were deceived thereby into thinking it a novel. In order that none might be deceived, and that none might purchase under such deception, we later adopted the present serial title, Studies in the Scriptures, which nobody can misunderstand. Many queries have come to us as to why these books cannot be found in the bookstores. Our answer is that while the book publishers would be glad to have these books, there are certain religious zealots who will not permit their sale, threatening boycott. At first, this seemed like a great disaster, as though the power of the adversary would be permitted to hinder the dissemination of the truth. But God graciously overruled the matter, so that today probably no other book has so large a circulation and so steady a circulation as this volume. Those who, through prejudice, refused to read the book and fought against it, did so because they believed falsehoods, misrepresentations. Many of these books have been burned by people who never read them, but who were influenced by misrepresentations. Just so it was during the Dark Ages, in respect to the followers of Jesus, who suffered martyrdom. Yes, Jesus himself suffered at the hands of those who did not understand him or his teachings, as St. Peter pointedly declares, "And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers." Acts chapter 3, verse 17. "For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. But if the enemies of this book have been bitter, unjust, untruthful, its friends are proportionately warm and zealous. The millions of copies in the hands of the people have nearly all passed out through the friends of the book, who, from the love of the truth, have given time and energy for its wide circulation. While we write these lines, we have knowledge of the fact that approximately 600 Christian people from various walks of life have left all earthly business and calling and ambitions that they may glorify the Lord and bless his hungry saints by putting this little volume into their hands. These include doctors, school teachers, nurses, ministers, barbers, mechanics, people from every walk of life who, touched to the heart themselves with the love of God, are anxious to pass the blessing on to other hearts and heads. The books are sold at a small price, and these colporteurs who take them around to the public are barely able to make their expenses. They rejoice, however, all the more if sometimes they have privations and are counted worthy to suffer some inconveniences and deprivations for the sake of the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. The good work goes on. The message of life in Christ passes from hand to hand. The present output of this volume is enormous. May its blessing in future days be proportionately as great as in the past. the author and publishers cannot ask for more. With very best wishes to all readers, your servant in the Lord, Charles T. Russell, Brooklyn, New York, October 1, 1916.
The following preface appeared in the earliest editions of Millennial Dawn, Volume 1, The Plan of the Ages. It was modified slightly about 1896. The following is being read from an edition that was published about 1891 or 1892. Preface. In sending forth this first volume of the Millennial Dawn, it is but proper that we apologize to the many friends who have waited for it so patiently since promised. Our desire from the first has been to set forth the wondrous things of the divine plan which, for the past 15 years, have been gradually unfolding themselves from the Scriptures in as comprehensive a manner as reasonable space and time would permit. But when the promise was first given, the author had little idea that the subject would expand itself as it has done, or that to serve the purpose intended more than one volume would be necessary. However, as the work progressed, it was found necessary to rearrange the subjects entirely. This has been the more necessary because of the fresh, additional, yet harmonious unfoldings of truth during the past few years. The present arrangement will, we trust, commend itself to our friends. We have endeavored so to present the subject that the studious child of God may go onward in investigation step by step, so that truths may not be stumbling stones by reason of misplacement, and so that even prejudices opposed to God's plan may be pushed out of the way with as little friction as possible, and that all classes of honest thinkers may be enabled to realize the Bible as indeed God's Word, and to recognize His plan therein revealed to be one sublime exhibition of justice, wisdom, love, and power. Should this aim be successful, even to a limited extent, the author shall feel that his ministry of the truth has been blessed. And of this he is confident, for it is written, "Your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The quotations from Scripture in this volume are not always from the common English version. We have endeavored to give the reader such translations as would most clearly give the sense of the original. We have been obliged to omit the names of authors from several choice poems quoted, because uncertain to whom this credit was due. We now commit to each of its readers certain responsibilities relating to the truths to which this volume calls your attention. Be faithful to your stewardship. Let your light so shine that it may glorify your Father in heaven. If these truths shall give the reader 1/4 the pleasure they have afforded the author and his helpmate, to whom you are indebted for valuable assistance rendered in this connection, yours will be a joy which the world can neither give nor take away. But to have it thus will require more than one reading. It will require careful study to make these truths and joys your own. With the prayer that it may be thus with some, I subscribe myself, yours in fellowship and service, Charles T. Russell, Allegheny, Pennsylvania, USA, November 1886. After about 1896, the preface was modified. This is a reading from the 1905 edition of Millennial Dawn, The Plan of the Ages, A Helping Hand for Bible Students. In sending forth this first volume of the Millennial Dawn, it is but proper that we apologize to the many friends who have waited for it so patiently since promised. Our desire from the first has been to set forth the wondrous things of the divine plan, which for the past 15 years have been gradually unfolding themselves from the Scriptures in as comprehensive a manner as reasonable space and time would permit. But when the promise was first given of a more comprehensive statement of the divine plan than that presented by us in Food for Thinking Christians, of which 1.5 million copies were issued, the author had little idea that the subject would expand itself as it has done, or that to serve the purpose intended, more than one volume would be necessary. However, as the work progressed, it was found necessary to rearrange the subjects entirely. This has caused some delay, but has been the more necessary because of the fresh, additional, yet harmonious unfoldings of truth during the past 6 years. The arrangement, as at present proposed, namely to treat the subject in 7 volumes, each measurably independent, will, we trust, commend itself to our friends. Our endeavor is to so present the subject that the studious child of God may go onward in investigation step by step, so that truths may not be stumbling stones by reason of misplacement, and so that even prejudices opposed to God's plan may be pushed out of the way with as little friction as possible, and that all classes of honest thinkers may be enabled to realize the Bible as indeed God's Word, and to recognize His plan therein revealed to be one sublime exhibition of justice, wisdom, love, and power. Should this aim be successful, even to a limited degree, the author will feel that his ministry of the truth has been blessed. And of this he is confident, for it is written, "Your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The quotations from Scripture in this volume are not always from the common English version. We have endeavored to give the reader such translations as would most clearly give the sense from the standpoint of the oldest Greek manuscripts. We have been obliged to omit the names of authors from several choice poems quoted because uncertain to whom this credit was due. We now commit to each of its readers certain responsibilities relating to the truths to which this volume calls attention. Be faithful to your stewardship. Let your light so shine that it may glorify your Father in heaven. If these truths shall give the reader 1/4 the pleasure they have afforded the author, yours will be a joy which the world can neither give nor take away. But to have it thus will require more than 1 reading. It will require careful study and comparison with the Scriptures to make these truths and joys your own. With the prayer that it may be thus with some, I subscribe myself, yours in fellowship and service, Charles T. Russell, Allegheny, Pennsylvania, USA, November 1886. That preface continued to be published until about 1909, when a general preface was added, which was titled Studies in the Scriptures, which was the same in each of the 6 volumes. This preface was used until it was replaced by the 1916 forewords in the 1916-17 edition. This is how it reads. Studies in the Scriptures. Christian people are becoming more and more awake to the fact that a great tidal wave of unbelief is sweeping over Christendom. Not the blasphemous atheism voiced by Thomas Paine and Robert Ingersoll, but the cultured kind represented in the scholarship of our day, which makes the danger all the more insidious. Not only are the great colleges and seminaries undermining the faith of the better educated, but the common school books, and especially those used in the high schools, are similarly inculcating a distrust in the Bible, a contradiction of its teachings. For a college graduate of today to declare his faith in the inspiration of the Scriptures would bring upon him the scorn of his companions, a scorn which few would court or could endure. At very best, a few will be found to claim that they believe that Jesus and his apostles were sincere, though they blundered in quoting from the Old Testament as inspired. Such a belief in Jesus and his apostles is no belief at all, for if present-day higher critics are wise enough to know when and where our Lord and his apostles erred in their quotations from the Old Testament, then these wise men of our day are our proper guides, more inspired than Jesus and the apostles. Our society, realizing the need, is seeking to do all in its power to stem the tide and lift up the Lord's standard for the people. It has prepared 6 sets of Bible studies, of which this volume is 1, for Christian people of all denominations to use in lending a helping hand to all perplexed inquirers with whom they may, by God's providence, come in contact. These are supplied at bare cost and can be had direct from the Society's ware rooms or of its colporteurs,
who are gradually reaching forth these helping hands far and near. These valuable studies are supplied at little more than 2 cents each, 16 of them well bound in a cloth case, embossed in silver, for 35 cents. The thought is this: as a Christian man or woman, you have children or relatives or neighbors or friends open to your influence, perhaps, indeed, asking your counsel, asking, how do we know that there is a God, or what proofs have we that the Bible is inspired? It is no longer wise to call these silly questions, nor to ask, are you an infidel? However competent you might be to prepare answers to these and a score of other questions, you may not have the needed time and opportunity to do so. How convenient, then, to step to your bookcase, take down the proper study on the subject, and to say to the inquirer, sit down and read that short study, and the whole matter of your question will be fully and satisfactorily settled. And if your doubts ever again arise, come over and read the same afresh. Possibly you may be a member of an Epworth League, or Christian Endeavor Society, or of a Baptist Young People's Union, and may be called on for an essay on some scripture topic. How convenient to select one among these numerous studies, covering almost every topic, and to find therein the appropriate scriptures cited. Ministers use them thus when composing special sermons and addresses. Ministers who have large libraries touching every conceivable religious topic, many volumes costing $6 to $8 per volume, may not feel their need of these Bible studies, but to others they are almost indispensable. Indeed, in addition to the price feature, which brings them within the reach of everybody, 6 volumes of over 3,000 pages for $2.25, the usual price of one such volume, they are written in pure but simple English, whereas the scholarly works are replete with technical terms and only for the few. We invite Christian people of all denominations to join us in our work of extending these helping hands to the rising generation. A single friend or relative helped, rescued from doubt or unbelief, would repay the cost of these studies 1,000 times.